You may be seated. I invite you to bow with me for as we pray together. Gracious and loving God, we pray that as we come into this time and in this place, that that spirit of Pentecost would continue to stir and to move in our midst, opening us to the awareness of your presence that is already here, around us, within us, and those around us, and even those that we encounter in this world beyond the walls of our church. We pray that that Spirit would help us to see with your eyes. And so as your scriptures have been read and are now proclaimed, may we have eyes to see and ears to hear the ways in which you're leading and guiding us now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got a short video clip that I want to open with this morning, and so I think that's going to be coming up for us in just a moment here.
What do you think God is on about?
God is into giving away God. That's all God's doing is giving away God. There's nothing else. That's God's job description. I want to give away some more God. And God is trying through every metaphor, every act of creation, every moment of time to reveal a little more of God. And darn it, God has the hardest time giving away God. It's like we create barriers and obstacles and you know, racetracks, and it just breaks your heart. And I'm sorry, I'm a priest, but the worst ones are clergy. Because it keeps us in business. I know I'm talking cynically, but it keeps us in business to keep explaining the obstacles and the racetrack. And, well, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to believe, and you got to read this translation of the Bible. And the true Greek says this. And it's everywhere. It's all the time. So a good teacher is basically not telling people what to see, but teaching people how to see. And all you got to do is teach people how to see, and then they'll see it. If we had taught people how to see, which means largely getting your own agenda out of the way, your own fear, your own anger, your own limitations, it means you got to become very small and very humble and recognize that my seeing is always partial, always partial. And what's in the way is me. Once someone learns that, it's like that man who drove to visit me this morning. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. And then I see everything. If you can keep that.
So we're talking about seeing, and when it comes to seeing, we need to recognize we're talking about two types of seeing right now. Those of you who are able to see visually were able to see what was going on in the screen. Maybe some have some impairment and it's difficult to. I don't think we have anybody that is legally or completely blind with us, but there are variations of that seeing with our eyes, but we're going to get to the part of seeing in a deeper sense in a few minutes. But that idea of learning to see, does anybody here have a conscious memory of learning to see? That someone sat you down and taught you how to look and to see and recognize something? I'm going to make the assumption here that the answer to that is no. But the process of learning to see is one that is still being unraveled and still trying to make sense of what exactly happens. My understanding from some of the reading and things I've done, and some of you probably know more about this than I do, but functionally, newborn babies are born legally blind because while they have eyes, they don't have those neural pathways in place that help their brains to interpret and understand and make sense of all this information that's coming in through their eyeballs. And for decades, the standing assumption was that if a child was born blind, If by the time they were developmentally 5, 6, 7 years old, if they had not been able to see to that point, even if surgery somehow restored and repaired their vision, they wouldn't truly ever to be able to learn to see. Because those parts of the brain, those pathways that normally are used to facilitate vision and sight and understanding of what we're seeing, those get assigned to other responsibilities if a child can't see. Now, in the United States, this really, in recent era, has not been an issue because, for instance, one of the most common problems that could result in a child being blind that could be corrected is some children are born with cataracts. Well, in the U.S., we have hospitals and we have surgeons and we have care and treatment that's available for those children right away. So at a very young age, they discover this happens, they have the surgery, and they develop normally and they're able to see. There's a neuroscientist named Pawan Sinha, and apologies if I just butchered his name, but for a little more than the last decade, he's been doing work in India to see what is going on. First, his goal was to help restore vision to kids that don't have it, because with the lack of access to proper medical care, there are children in India who are born with cataracts, but they're 10, 12, 13 years old before they actually have the opportunity to have the surgery to correct this. Well, many people had that operating assumption that, well, they're old enough, even if they get the surgery, they're never going to be able to see. And what this researcher is doing, he started a program called the Praksha Project, and it's Sanskrit for light, but his plan is, and they've helped over 1,400 children by providing them with surgery and then helping them to learn to see. And the process that they go through of helping them to make those associations and connections in their brains. And he has a TED Talk about it and talks about all of the things that go on in our brain for us to be able to make sense of the things that we see. And all of those different layers that we have, that we can sit here and have multiple depths of field of vision that we're looking at, and we can look around and we can judge distances, and all of those things that we take for granted, they're in the process of helping these children to learn to see when for years it was assumed they never would. Now, I share that because learning to see is something that I took for granted until I started watching those videos and reading a little bit about it. It's pretty miraculous that we can see at all, for all of those things that our brain does to make it possible for us to recognize things, to have that acuity of vision, to read and do the things that we do with our sight. And what's even more remarkable is the process that it takes for them to help people that don't have vision to learn to see when that mechanism of their eye is repaired and restored. And it made me think that this idea of learning to see, as Father Rohr was talking about, that quite often we're told what we should see, how we should see. He mentions that religiously, and bit of an indictment against pastors. I hope that I don't do it that often, but telling people what they should think, what they should believe, how they should act in situations. But the truth of it is, we grow up in a world and a society that does that to us in so many ways. Socially, politically, in all sorts of aspects, we're already programmed as to how we should think. And when we see things around us, we make judgments, snap judgments. Sometimes they're correct, but often they're not. When we hear about incidences in the news, the violence that is taking place with all of the shootings in Indianapolis, and even some of that's touching our community here recently, it's easy to sit and watch the images that they put on the news and think, well, what were they doing in that neighborhood anyway? It serves them right. Who would do that? Who would go there? We make a judgment. We don't know what that person's situation is. We don't know what took them to that place. When we see somebody that's in need of assistance, think, well, they're lazy. They could go get a job. Maybe they could, maybe they couldn't. We make those surface judgments about people all of the time. And we have this framework of reality that we live in. This understanding of how the world fits in with our understanding of it, and we don't question it. We just accept it that that's the way it is, and we make decisions and assumptions, and the way that we act and treat other people is based on that. And we see it playing out in that scripture reading this morning. Jesus and his disciples, we're told, are walking along. It's the Sabbath. They're not supposed to work, but they're hungry. So they start pulling heads of grain off of the wheat as they're passing it and popping it in their mouths. And we're told that the Pharisees and other officials that were there were saying, look, do you see what they're doing? No consideration of the fact that, well, they must be hungry. There is a rule that relates to that, and they just broke that rule. How often do we find ourselves, wait, did you see what they just did? Without a consideration for why. And so it, in my mind, with these two verses, these two sections back to back, the Pharisees are saying, look, do you see what they just did? And then they're watching. They're watching and keeping an eye on him. You see, they've been instructed. They've been trained. They've been encultured in such a way that there are rules and you live by and you follow the rules. And anything else isn't acceptable. And when they see Jesus and his disciples break the rule, they point the finger. And so now they're watching. Because we've got a rule breaker on our hands. And you know what? He did it again. They get to the temple and they see this man with the withered hand. They're astute enough to think, oh, you know what? I bet Jesus is going to heal this guy. And Jesus looks at them and says, so what do you think? Is it right or not? And Jesus does. He goes ahead and he heals the man. And these experts, these officials, these leaders in the law and religion are up in arms, and we're told they're looking for a way to destroy him, conspiring against him. One of the commentators I read pointed out that we're only 79 verses into the Gospel of Mark, and Jesus has already upset them enough that they're ready to do away with him. They were watching in a way that they had been taught and shown and were expected to see. But in these verses, I think we find Jesus giving us an alternative. For those people that were quick to cast judgment, looking to condemn, looking for an excuse, Jesus, we're told, in verse 5, says he looked around at them with anger. But it doesn't say he lashed out. Doesn't say he accused them. It says he was grieved at the hardness of their heart. He was grieved at the hardness of their heart. For the people like those religious leaders that were standing there watching Jesus and ready to condemn him, others were watching saying, they're doing their job. They're doing the right thing without considering their motivation. Jesus rightfully could have been, and says he looked at them with anger, but then he was saddened. Because he saw in a way that he recognized the hardness of their hearts. So how do we learn to see differently than how we've been taught? How the world around us has told us it's all right to see. You see, we live in a world where, in spite of the strides that we've made for racial equality, still tell people that it's okay to look critically and judgmental at someone whose skin is darker than yours. Surely they're up to something. We live in a world where it's easy to condemn someone who is holding the sign at the side of the road, or homeless, or downtrodden, because it's easier to assume that they've done something to warrant their situation. We're critical of so many things without taking the time to step back and try to look at a situation differently. To step back and think about, well, what things have contributed to the situation this person is in? What obstacles and barriers has society put in place that keep them down so that no matter how hard they work and try, they can never claw their way out of the hole that they're in? Have we asked the questions that nobody else wants to ask? Have we challenged the answers that we've been given? Because we live in a world where we hear a lot of news thrown around, or words thrown around about fake news as if that's the right answer. But the truth of it is, so much of the news and information and even the history that we're taught isn't 100% accurate. And we don't take the time to simply dig and look and see, is this factual? Is this accurate? Do I accept the answer that I've been given? Jesus didn't accept the answers that had been given to him. Jesus grew up in that same religious climate and culture as every one of those people that were judging him. And yet, when it was time to eat, they went ahead and plucked the wheat and ate it. When he encountered someone in need, rather than doing what would have been expected of him, what he would have learned growing up of not working on the Sabbath, he offered healing to the man that needed it. Sometimes for us, learning to see means that we need to step back and we need to question our assumptions. We need to look deeper. We need to look within ourselves about, why do I think this way about this person? Why do I believe what I do about this situation? Why is this value one that I hold on to so intensely that I'm willing to fight over it? Maybe when we take those looks inside and ask ourselves those questions, we'll have a good answer. Maybe we'll look at that and say, yeah, I still think that, and that's important. But sometimes there will be opportunities where our eyes are opened and we see things differently. I've shared with you before that there was a period of time where I had a spiritual director that I would go and see, and one of the things that I've taken away from him, a practice that I still often use, was a simple question. Because I'd go and I'd meet with him and we'd sit down and he'd, you know, ask, how are you doing? And I'd relay the things that were going on in my life, in my ministry, in my family. And often it was a place where I'd go and vent my frustrations and all of that stuff. And those situations that often were the ones that were riling me the most, it got pretty predictable, but it was helpful. Eugene would look at me and say, so where'd you see God in that? Where'd you see God in that? It's not always an easy question to answer. Often when you're in the midst of a situation, it's kind of tough to see where God is. And it's often after you've come through it that you're looking back that hindsight helps you to recognize and see where God was. And if it's hard in those moments sometimes, it's probably even harder to look forward into things that are coming down the road at you and think, where is God in that? Do I see God yet? we may not always have it clear and right in front of us. But I'll tell you, it has changed my perspective on things to have that question continue to pop into my mind. I see things differently when I begin asking that question, where is God in this right now? I don't have all of the answers. I don't have all of those things revealed or shown to me. But to at least be walking through those things and looking around saying, where is God right now? What is God doing? There are times when there are blessings that I discover that I would have missed if I wasn't trying to see differently. With the things that have taken place in our school community over the last week of the Richmond High School having lost two students the weekend leading up to their last day of school. It's a heavy blow. With the news of the girls' basketball coach being found dead. Another blow. And these are the kinds of things that make us look around and say, what is going on? But let me assure you that God is in the midst of situations like that. With Pastor Jen sharing just a little while ago of Dave Lewis passing just last night. Going to visit Dave and talking to Kim, being in that hospital room was an opportunity to see the blessings that were at work around Kim and around David, of the love and support that was poured out upon them, of the compassion and the care that Dave received from the nurses and the doctors at the hospital. We experience things like that every day. When we walk outside and we see the flowers, the trees, the sky, the sun, when we walk out the door, do we pause and give thanks to God who created all of this? Learning to see takes some intentionality. It takes some work. It takes some prayer. It takes asking God to help us to see the world around us, and most especially other people, the way that God sees them. So may we, who have eyes to see, use those eyes differently and begin to see the world the way that God sees it. Amen.